$200 million. His anxiety seems palpable, and I'm reminded of Peter Schneider's comment that Eisner can't relax and enjoy success because he's too worried about what's next. "I'm seeing the Alamo tonight," Jacobson says, sounding hopeful. The Alamo is slated for Disney's big Christmas 2003 holiday release. It's the director's cut. It's 3 hours. "It won't end up there," Eisner asks, sounding alarmed. "I hope not. I hear it's really good." "Unless it's The Godfather, people don't want that much history. By the way," Eisner adds before leaving, "do we want another Western with Kevin Costner? Disney has just released Open Range." "I can take a breather," Jacobson says. Eisner has recently met with Costner. Costner has this idea. He said it's a family movie. It's an elephant thing. He said it's 3 hours. I said, "We'll do 72 minutes. He said, "Why?" I said, "Because it's an elephant movie. Elephant movies are difficult." Everyone laughs. The staff seems in a good mood. "Congratulations on the summer," Eisner says again. "It's fantastic." Perhaps Eisner was right to be worried about next year. Later that day, I ask if I can accompany Jacobson to see The Alamo, but am told Directors Guild rules prohibit any outsiders from seeing the rough cut. Later, Eisner mentions that he'd seen it, and I ask him how it was. "It's a mess," he says, shaking his head. Nor would Ghosts of Girlfriends Past come to the rescue for either the holiday or summer seasons. As Affleck's reputation continued to take a drubbing in the tabloid press in the wake of his messy, highly public breakup with Jennifer Lopez, Jacobson killed the project, and Eisner agreed. 2 days after my meeting with Eisner and the studio executives, a new episode of Eight Simple Rules was being shot at Touchstone's Studio 6 on the Burbank lot. Although it was the second anniversary of the World Trade Center attacks, there was no pause in the shooting schedule, and Eight Simple Rules was shooting the fourth episode in the new season. That afternoon, John Ritter and the rest of the cast were making some promotional spots. As usual, Ritter was entertaining everyone in the cast, acting like a puppet. "Is your hair on straight?" director James Widows asked. Ritter grabbed his scalp, moved it back and forth, contorting his face. Everyone was laughing. The teenage cast members had come to think of Ritter as the father he played in the show. They were about to start blocking that afternoon's scenes when Ritter came over to Widows. "I'm feeling a little sick to my stomach. Can I go upstairs and lie down for a while?" Widows said fine, they'd use his stand-in. "Feel better," he said. When executive producer Floaty Suarez got the news, he told an assistant director to get the nurse. He thought it might be food poisoning, and at about 5 p.m., Ritter checked into St. Joseph's Hospital, across the street from the studio. Suarez hurried over to see him and poked his head into the room. Ritter looked pale. "Are you just lying there, or can we do one more promo?" Suarez quipped. "Fine," Ritter grinned. Ritter's wife, Amy Yazbek, showed up, as did his close friend and lawyer, Bob Myman, Steve McPherson, head of Touchstone, and others. After the doctors performed an electrocardiogram, Suarez called Susan Lynn, who'd already received an email from McPherson saying they'd shut down...